Welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be talking about brand communities.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Those are fascinating.
they really are. And we've got some great research to help us unpack all this from a Bastian Popp. This is from a 2016 paper. I think it's going to be a great jumping off point to kind of understand what's going on with these groups of consumers who get so connected with brands.
Yeah, like they form these strong bonds, almost like family.
Right.
It's really interesting.
Have you ever felt like that about a brand, where it's almost part of your identity?
I think everybody has at some point.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain brands where I'm like, yeah, I kind of identify with that.
Yeah, totally. And that's kind of what we're looking at today.
And it's a shift, you know, from the old days of marketing, you know, where it was all about the company talking to the customer directly.
Right, just blast out those ads and hope something sticks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, Pop's research and some of the other work that was going on in the 90s, they started to see
Yeah.
how important those customer-to-customer interactions are.
Right. So
Especially,
especially when they're all about a brand they love.
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it goes beyond just casual liking. Like these
Right.
communities,
It's serious business.
they have their own shared consciousness, they have rituals and traditions.
It's a whole culture.
It is, it's a
Yeah.
microculture,
Yeah.
but the brand is at the center of it.
Right. Yeah. And even like a sense of responsibility to the brand and to each other within the community. Like,
Yes.
think about,
Like Harley-Davidson.
yes,
Yeah.
Harley-Davidson's owners group.
A perfect example.
Oh my gosh, their events and
Oh,
rallies,
huge.
they're like cultural gatherings.
They are.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it goes way beyond just riding the same motorcycle.
Totally.
It's this shared identity.
It makes you wonder why people go all in like that.
It really does.
Like, I get liking a product, but what's behind that deep loyalty? It's almost like a tribal feeling.
It is. Well, and Pop's research found that people join these communities for all sorts of reasons.
Okay.
Some people just want to learn more about the brand itself,
Makes sense.
you know, connect with other enthusiasts, or get help from more experienced users.
Okay.
This is especially true when you look at things like tech products and online games,
Yeah.
where these communities can be a great place for, you know, getting advice and troubleshooting.
Right, like a built-in tech support team, but made up of people who actually love the product. That's
Exactly.
great, yeah.
Yeah.
But I imagine some people are in it for the social recognition too, right? Like to become a known expert within that community.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That desire to be seen as a leader or a resource for the group, that's a powerful motivator.
Yeah, for
And then
sure.
you can't forget the entertainment factor.
Of course.
A lot of people are just there for the fun, the shared passion, the sense of belonging,
Right.
and the internet has made it so much easier to find your tribe wherever
Yes.
you are.
Right, it transcends geography. Yeah, and think about how much these online communities have changed, even in the past decade or so.
Oh, yeah.
Like we've gone from those dedicated forums and websites
Right.
to Facebook groups, Instagram pages, you know, hyper-specific subreddits, like all over the
Look,
place.
all over the platforms may change,
Yeah.
but that core human need for connection, that stays the same.
Totally.
But you know what's really interesting?
What's that?
This whole boom in brand communities, it's not just good for consumers.
Right.
It can be incredibly powerful for companies too.
So beyond just the more loyal customers thing.
Oh, way beyond that. Think
Okay.
about it. These communities are a goldmine of insights into what customers really want.
Okay.
They give you real-time feedback on your products,
Interesting.
and they can even be a testing ground for new ideas,
Wow.
which can seriously lower the risk when you launch something new.
So it's like a built-in focus group,
Exactly.
but it's made up of your most diehard fans.
That's the beauty of it.
I'm starting to see those dollar signs light up in the eyes of marketing execs everywhere.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And let's not forget about the word-of-mouth marketing.
Oh, for
You know,
heaven's
these passionate fans, they become your brand ambassadors. They spread the word, they defend you against any criticism,
Oh, yeah.
sometimes even more fiercely than a paid PR team.
I've seen it online, man.
Oh, it's amazing.
You say one bad thing about Brand X, and you've got a whole army in the comments ready to argue for hours.
It's incredible.
It is.
And that kind of passionate defense, that's priceless.
It really is.
And Pop found a strong connection between being part of a brand community and how much people buy.
Okay.
People in these groups are generally more loyal.
Makes
They
sense.
buy more often, and they're even willing to pay higher prices.
Wow. Okay. So, from a business perspective, that makes perfect sense.
It does.
You've got this dedicated following, they're happy to spend more.
It's like a dream.
It's the dream.
Yeah.
But are there any downsides for the companies? Like, what happens if the community gets a little too powerful and starts trying to tell the brand what to do?
Yeah, that can definitely be a concern.
Yeah.
Things can get tricky when a community's vision clashes with the company's goals.
Yeah.
You also see instances of, you know, what they call brand fanaticism.
Oh, yeah.
Where the passion kind of turns negative.
Right.
And it creates conflicts with people outside the group.
Right.
And then you've got the whole phenomenon of anti-brand communities.
Oh, right.
Where people bond over their shared dislike of a company or product.
Yeah, it's like the dark side of brand loyalty.
It really is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not always about negativity.
Okay.
Pop actually highlights a really interesting example.
Okay, what's that?
Bosch, the tool company.
Okay.
They have this website called one-dg.com.
Okay.
It's this online community for DIY enthusiasts.
Right.
But the brand itself isn't really front and center.
Interesting.
It's more about the shared interest in DIY. And Bosch just provides the tools and resources to support that.
So it's less about worshiping Bosch.
Right.
And more about connecting over this passion that Bosch just happens to be a part of.
Exactly.
That's pretty fascinating.
It is. It really makes you question how much the definition of brand community has changed over time.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Like, is it still a brand community if the product is almost secondary?
Oh, right.
It seems like the lines are getting a little blurry.
Yeah, they really are.
Huh. I think to really answer that, we need to look a little deeper into, like, what motivates people to join these communities.
Definitely.
Both from the brand side and from the consumer's perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it really makes you think about, like, the power dynamics at play here.
It does.
You know, these brands want to cultivate these communities.
Right.
They see them as valuable assets.
They are.
But they also have to walk this fine line.
Yeah.
Because these groups can have a huge impact on the brand's image. Whether the company likes it or not.
For sure.
It is a balancing act.
It is.
You know, they need to kind of shift from this mindset of control to one of collaboration.
Absolutely.
And really listening to the community.
And understanding their needs.
Yeah, what's important to them.
Yeah, because imagine you're part of this really passionate community.
Right.
And then suddenly the brand starts making decisions that feel totally out of touch.
Yeah.
Or even worse, they contradict the values that brought everyone together in the first place.
That's like a betrayal.
It is.
Yeah.
And the fallout from that can be huge.
Yeah, for sure.
We've seen brands face backlash, boycotts, you know, people leaving their communities in droves.
Mm-hmm.
When that trust is broken.
Right.
Authenticity and transparency, those are so important in these relationships.
Especially these days.
Oh, yeah.
When information spreads so quickly online.
So quickly.
Like any attempt to manipulate a community or exploit them, it's going to get called out immediately.
Yeah.
And Pop's research even talks about, you know, the rise of these anti-brand communities.
Oh, yeah.
Which are groups that are united by their dislike or distrust of a particular brand.
Right. Like their whole identity is built around hating this company.
Yeah. And their impact can be huge.
It can.
Especially when it comes to spreading negative sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hurting the company's reputation.
Absolutely.
Even their bottom line.
Yeah. Like you see these online campaigns
mm-hmm.
where consumers will band together to boycott a brand over ethical concerns or, you know, questionable practices.
It's a good reminder that brands aren't just accountable to their shareholders anymore.
Right.
It's like they're accountable to their communities.
And to the public.
Yeah, to the public eye.
For sure.
And those communities, they have more power than ever to make their voices heard.
They do.
Okay, so we've talked about the power.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the psychology behind all
this.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, what makes people so fiercely loyal to a brand?
Right.
That they're willing to spend more money, defend it online.
Spend their free time in these communities.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It is. It's more than just liking a product.
It is.
What is that driving force?
Well, Pop links it to this idea called social identity theory.
Okay.
Which basically says that our sense of self is shaped by the groups we belong to.
So it's about being part of something bigger.
Exactly.
Finding your tribe.
Yes.
Expressing your identity through the brands you choose to support.
That's it.
Oh.
The brand becomes this symbol of shared values and beliefs and experiences.
Right.
And when those values are threatened or, you know, perceived to be compromised, the reaction can be really intense.
Yeah.
Almost like a personal betrayal.
Right. It's like they broke a pact with the community.
Exactly.
It's not just, oh, they released a bad product.
Right.
It's way deeper than that.
Yeah, way deeper.
Yeah. This makes me think about like online running communities.
Oh, yeah.
Like, obviously, you see people wearing their favorite brands,
Mm-hmm.
but it's more than just that.
It goes deeper.
Yeah, they're sharing training tips, they're motivating each other.
Celebrating milestones together.
Yeah, it's like,
It's a real community.
yeah, the brand might be the catalyst.
The common thread.
Yeah, but the focus is on that collective experience.
And the shared goals.
Yeah, all of this kind of paints this picture of like a really complex social ecosystem.
He
You
does.
know, where brands and consumers are constantly influencing each other.
Back and forth.
Yeah, sometimes in unexpected ways.
Absolutely.
And to navigate that ecosystem successfully,
Yeah.
it takes more than just traditional marketing.
Right.
It's about building genuine relationships and fostering that sense of shared purpose.
Exactly.
But, you know, we've focused a lot on the benefits for brands.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about the value that these communities provide for the consumers themselves.
Oh, that's important.
Right, there's a real sense of belonging.
Support, friendship, even
Yeah.
think about those online forums and groups where people are sharing advice, encouraging each other,
Right.
sometimes just connecting over a shared passion.
Yeah. It's a good reminder that at the heart of it all,
Yeah.
it's about human connection.
It is.
And that connection can be incredibly powerful,
Incredibly.
both for
And
individuals.
the brands they choose to support.
Right. And that makes you wonder, where does the responsibility lie when it comes to cultivating these communities?
Yeah.
Should brands actively try to create and manage them,
Right.
or should they just kind of let them develop organically?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? Like,
Yeah.
should brands be the architects of these communities, or more like gardeners?
Yeah. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, you have people on both sides who feel really strongly about it.
Right.
And I can see why, you know, because trying to force a community into existence,
Yeah.
that can feel so inauthentic,
Yeah.
almost manipulative.
Totally.
Consumers these days, they can sniff out when something's manufactured,
Oh, yeah, they can tell.
and that can really backfire.
Big time.
Yeah, it's like throwing a party and trying to force everyone to have fun.
Yeah.
It's just going to be awkward.
Super awkward.
But then on the other hand,
Yeah.
if you just ignore the power of these
Right.
communities, that feels like a missed opportunity.
Totally. So where's the balance?
Yeah, that's the key, right? Finding that sweet spot where brands can nurture these communities
Yeah.
without being too heavy-handed,
Right.
you know, offer resources, create spaces for people to interact, but ultimately let the community itself decide where it wants to go.
Right. So like a gardener providing the soil and the sunshine,
Exactly.
but not trying to, you know, sculpt every leaf.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Pop's research actually highlights some companies that are doing this really well. It
Okay.
talks about Lego.
Oh, yeah.
They're really good at encouraging user-generated content and fan creations.
Right. They have those programs for adult fans.
Yes.
Like recognizing that the passion for Lego doesn't just disappear when you grow up.
Exactly. It's smart.
It is.
They're tapping into that existing enthusiasm, giving it an outlet.
Yeah.
And that just strengthens the bond between the brand and the consumer.
It does.
So it makes you wonder, you know, knowing what we now know,
Yeah.
how do we as consumers navigate this world of brand
Well,
communities?
I think being aware of these dynamics is a good starting point.
Yeah.
You know, recognize that brands are really leaning into this social identity theory. They understand that our group affiliations have a big influence on what we buy.
Right. So it's not just, I like this product.
Right.
It's, I align with what this brand stands for
Exactly.
and the people who support it.
Yeah, it's a much deeper
That's
connection.
powerful stuff.
It really is.
So I guess that means we have a responsibility to be more mindful consumers.
I think so.
Yeah. Like when you're thinking about supporting a brand,
Ask yourself some
yeah,
questions.
what are their values?
Yeah, do those values line up with your own?
Do I want to be associated with this community?
Right, make those choices.
And maybe question why we're so drawn to certain brands in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, is it genuine admiration
Right.
or are we just looking for that sense of belonging?
It's worth thinking about.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
You know, we've gone from biker gangs to online forums.
The whole spectrum.
We've explored the psychology of loyalty.
The ethics of community building.
And hopefully you've come away with a little more understanding of just how complex these brand communities really are.
I hope so.
They're a powerful force,
They are.
shaping how we consume things.
And even our sense of self.
So next time you find yourself drawn to a particular brand,
Yeah.
take a minute. Consider the community that surrounds it.
You might be surprised by what you find.
Yeah, you really might.
Yeah.
And on that note, thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those intellectual gears turning.